Apparently, I want to destroy the Constitution. I have no respect for the rule of law or the will of the people. But this is the news, according to me. Good Friday morning. It's September 2nd, my anniversary. So September 2nd, 2022, 09/02/2022, 7:57 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a little bit later than what I had hoped to get up. I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning, and I decided to go back to sleep. And then I woke up at 5 o'clock, and I decided to go back to sleep. And then I woke up at 5:55, and I kind of laid awake for a while. Got up and did all my stuff, and I've been trying to get ready to go on this trip, and now I'm just basically just moving right along. I didn't listen to the speech last night because I was just too busy doing things. I had stuff to find. I worked until it got so dark I couldn't really work outside anymore. And well, I could, but I couldn't see what I was doing, which is probably better. I ended up, this is going to be a pretty short show this morning, and I like to leave Fridays with a little bit more of a lighter tone. And however, there is one thing that is just really burning. It's still, this whole week has been more and more aggravating the more I think about it. So here's where I'm going to go with this. First of all, let's talk about the speech real quick and some of the snippets I've heard, this just the stuff he said. It was even some of the independents in other countries now are saying this was a pretty disgusting speech. Now, the left-wing media would have you believe this was the best thing since Abraham Lincoln, since the Gettysburg Address. Every time Biden makes a speech, oh, this was just, it was so uplifting and so positive. You were reminded of all the positive things about America. They're trying to own this idea that they're the ones that respect the Constitution. They're the ones who believe in the rule of law. And they're the ones who want to do the will of the people. It is so quite the opposite. It's just totally the opposite of what he was saying, which is typically normal. As I've said before, everything that comes out of Biden's mouth, if he says something about China being a threat, well, China's not a threat. Well, then you better believe China's a threat. Well, these vaccinations, if you take these vaccinations, you won't get... Oops. Yeah, that wasn't right. If you wear a mask, we could have saved hundreds of thousands of lives if we had just worn the masks. And more died on his watch. Just, you know, one thing after another. Oh, we don't need this oil pipeline. We don't need that. This is Putin's tax. That's yeah, right. Putin's not going to invade Ukraine. He's not going to invade. This whole Ukraine thing, by the way, there's some really creepy stuff going on there. I'm not talking about what the Russians are doing to Ukrainians. I'm talking about the political things that are happening there with regard to their relationship with our country. See, our country is not the only one giving billions of dollars. I believe that so far, Ukraine has received more in the last 6 months. 9 months, actually 6 months, actually, in foreign aid than Russia's entire one-year budget for their military. I believe. I'm not sure if that's correct or not, but I know I heard some kind of a statistic that was something like that. So the question, I guess, why this week Joe Biden has made a couple of speeches? He's come out against gun control. He's come out against this other. All of a sudden, he's making speeches all over the place. Now, at the Philadelphia, think he was in Philadelphia to do this speech last night, I believe, and some guy on a bullhorn was pretty much just saying, "Let's go Brandon," the whole time. And then he was also playing some kind of, I'm surprised he didn't get booted out. Apparently he's in a place where he could do that. I don't know, playing sirens and doing all kinds of stuff. It's kind of funny. But I still hear some independent pundits saying that they were disgusted by Trump didn't accept the results of the election and just move on. At what point did you not get it that Hillary didn't do that? And at what point do you not accept it? When you have video of them burning ballots, maybe? This guy, obviously, I saw a guy on Sky News, Sky News Australia, and he was talking about Trump didn't accept the results of the election. I thought that was disgusting, but this is also disgusting. You're talking about Biden's speech. I thought, you know, if you haven't watched 2,000 Mules, I've just heard about what's in it, and I'm upset. I'm almost at the point where I'm afraid I'm going to go crazy if I watch it. You have that. You have the whole FBI Hunter Biden thing. Now, and this is where I'm going to go next with this whole thing. But this idea that Joe Biden said that we don't, how is it? What it is that he said exactly? It was have something, don't respect or don't want to destroy the Constitution, something to that effect. So the MAGA crowd is the one who wants to destroy the Constitution. How does that work out? There's some really bizarre stuff about this whole thing. And like I said, this is going to cook up. We're only in September right now. We're going to get into October. This is going to ramp up even worse. Now, my understanding is that the FBI won't do anything after September 10th, I believe it is, because of they don't do anything 60 days prior to an election. Well, that's less than 60 days prior, so I'm not sure how all that works out. But they also don't, you know, raid a former president's home, which they just did. So I'm not so sure that this is all. My guess is they're going to do it the week before the election. They're not going to announce any charges against Trump until after the election. So that's the plan. Any indictments. But this whole thing with the raid, the whole thing with this picture that was leaked out somehow. And by the way, we still haven't heard who the leaker, speaking of leaks, we haven't heard who the leaker was from the Supreme Court. Did they get the FBI on that one? No, they wanted to do an internal investigation. Last time that I mentioned it, all of a sudden the next day they said something about it. I think the Supreme Court listens to this show, apparently, to get their education on what's going on. In spite of the fact that I let them know every day that I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a doctor, I'm not an epidemiologist, I'm not a financial counselor, I'm not a CPA, I'm not a rodeo clown, even though I want to be one. Too old for that now. Those days are gone. I'm amazed also that Biden last night did not mention the one thing I thought he would talk about. He didn't say anything about it, which I think was the most disgusting thing about his speech. It's what's in my cup. I have vanilla chai once again with sweet creamer in it. Sweet cream flavored creamer in it. Just cream, extra cream, extra sweet. I have no backup cup this morning because this isn't going to take very long. I got so much to do this morning. It's not going to take very long. And the really, the one main thing I want to get off my chest, and it's just, I hate to do it on a Friday. Because then I leave you with this impression that I'm just mad all weekend, and I really won't be, because I, you know, there's, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, you get on here and you talk about all the stuff that's kind of rotten going on, all the stuff that's happening, and really at the end of the day, we have to get on with our lives. We have to do what we can do in our little circle of our life and our influence to stand firm, be courageous, speak the truth, listen to others, question them. Typically, questions are the best way to change someone else's mind. You notice that many times the whole change my mind thing that Steven Crowder does, he'll ask a lot of questions, and he does a pretty good job of listening. A lot of times he'll talk. He talks pretty fast, but he tries to get, because he's got a lot to try to cover. He's trying to change somebody's mind. The ironic thing about it is he's asking you to change his mind, but he's really going to change yours. Going to back you into a corner with your dislogical, whatever it is. It was interviewing this guy the other day, which I thought was... It was very good. It was a good little chat they had. He was asking this guy about whether or not you should be, you know, there's what your sex is and what your gender is. He's trying to distinguish the two between that. You know, you may be born as a male, but you don't identify as male, and you can identify as a, this guy was saying, you can identify as anything you want to. If I'm talking to you and you say you want to identify as a woman, that's, you know, it's fine. I'm okay with that. Whatever, dude. Well, he's okay with that. Well, okay. If you want to enter into that kind of fantasy world with a person, that's fine. The question is, how does that then trickle down into society? How do we accommodate that in society? Was really what Stephen was trying to get into. And they didn't really go into this depth of this whole thing, but he was trying to say, okay, so what if I want to identify as a bobcat? That's what Stephen said. Well, that's fine. You know, if you want to identify as a bobcat, you can do that. That's fine. More power to you. And he kind of, at least he was intellectually, he had some continuity there. He had some integrity. He didn't just say, well, no, you can't be a bobcat. He was totally, you know, okay with that. See, here's how, and I wish he would have gone this far with it, because this is really where it goes. How does society now accommodate you in that? And there's a man who is, I think, in his 50s or 60s, rather large man, who identifies as a 3-year-old. He dresses up like a 3-year-old. He wants to play with other 3-year-olds. Do we allow him to spend time with other 3-year-olds, and do we put him in daycare with other 3-year-olds? Do we change his diapers? Do all those things that he wants to have done to him to accommodate him in this? I mean, 3-year-olds aren't taxed. So does he get away with that? He never has to work. Just somebody has to take care of him all the time, because he's a 3-year-old. Who's responsible for him? He's going to be in an orphanage. I mean, at what point does society accommodate that kind of mental illness? And then we have someone who thinks that they're a cat. Now, here's where I wanted to go. I wanted Stephen to go to. So if I believe that I'm a wolf, and you identify as a rabbit, well, if society wants to accommodate that, I should be allowed to eat you for my survival. I can pursue you, chase you down, bite you in the neck, choke you out, and then just gobble you up. And that's nature. It's just the nature of a wolf. And rabbits are food for wolves. So therefore, you are food now for me. Or is society going to accommodate that? Well, we can't charge him with a murder because he's just a wolf. Wolf, you know, we don't charge animals with crimes, right? So how can you be charged with any kind of crime if you're an animal? For doing what's natural out there. Don't put down a wolf for eating a rabbit. That would just be silly. So, you know, when you take something like that to the extreme of how do we then bring you into society and how are we supposed to respond as a society? Society. And that's what we have here. This idea that we have no respect for the Constitution, that we don't want that we want to destroy the Constitution. Who are the people who are? I guarantee you, you go out to most liberals. They don't even know the difference between the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and anything else, the preamble. Or they don't know anything about anything. And yet they're the ones. Okay, these are people who want to swear to uphold and defend the Constitution, and they don't like the Second Amendment. Oh no, we think you should have the right to have a gun, just a shotgun. With two bullets, single shot. That's all you need. Just a shotgun. Get a shotgun. I got two shotguns. That's what Joe said. I got two shotguns. Yeah, you got two shotguns. And what did you say the other day? F-15s at your beck and call. You got Secret Service all around your house all the time. With automatic weapons. But they should be banned. AR-15 should be banned. Well, why do you have those automatic weapons being carried by people around your house? Why do you have all that? Well, I have to protect the presidency. Against what? What are you protecting them against, Joe? Huh?
A MAGA crowd.
Oh, yeah. Because they've been doing all the threatening of Supreme Court judges. They've been doing all the threatening and all the damage in 2021 and 2022, 2020. That whole time. They're the ones who are the problem. The MAGA crowd's the problem, right? Brother of mine was, not my brother, but a friend of mine. He's a pastor. Call him brother. Believer. Fellow believer. Down in Indianapolis the other day, preaching. They had no idea that there was also going to be a demonstration for trans people. Gay rights thing or so, whatever they were doing. Gay pride or whatever it was. They didn't know that was going on, actually. And they showed up at the Capitol steps, and they were preaching from the state capitol. All of a sudden, this whole bunch of bikers showed up. They thought they were done for. They thought this was the end. They start preaching. They figured the bikers were probably going to beat them up. And I could have told them, I wish I would have been there. I've done that kind of thing before, and I wish I'd have been there. I said, nope, you watch what these bikers do. All the bikers came out and encircled the people preaching and protected them. Somebody tried to rush one of them at one point, tried to break through the line and rush in to get one of them, and they got taken down. You see, the core fabric of the people that he's claiming are the violent ones, the ones that threaten democracy. This is rhetoric that has got to stop. The left has always been the one that propagates this stuff. They push this narrative. And they blame the other side. It's comply or die with them. That's the way this is going to be. And I believe right now we are absolutely in a civil war. The only thing that we haven't done is started flying bullets around. And this is, Here's where we are. We are in an ideological, spiritual, mental, mental and spiritual civil war right now in this country. There is no question about it. The rule of law.
Defund the police.
What happened to all that rhetoric we heard a couple years ago?
It's time to defund the police.
All of a sudden, all Joe is saying is, I don't believe we should defund the police. Well, it was all your side that said that. And by the way, your side is pretty mad at you for not saying it. They're being told to be quiet right now because the midterms are coming up and we can't have that kind of rhetoric. We have to move a little bit more towards the center to get through this election. And the idea that we don't believe in the will of the people. Here's the problem with that whole statement right there. The will of the people. That's an interesting statement to make after saying the first two things about the Constitution and the rule of law. The will of the people is that they would have their independence. That will change. It'll change. That group mentality, group think, the pitting us against them, the collectivist mentality, goes against everything that the Constitution stands for. Because it stands for individual rights. And the rights of one person are more important than what everybody else thinks about that person. That's the whole beauty of our Constitution. 99% of the people out there can vote that you should be killed, whether you've committed a crime or not. That's a true democracy. That's not what we have. You have the right to life, period. They have no right to take that away without due process, and you didn't do anything to warrant your life being taken away. And they all have to stand down and say, I guess he gets to live. There are a lot of people who think that Donald Trump committed crimes. Well, he had classified top secret documents in his desk drawer. This Gary Ducey. You tell he's getting all upset about it. Fox News is not your friend, Donald Trump, by the way. There's a few people on there that are. But they're all really concerned about this classified documents. I got news for you. When you stamp classified on a document and you declassify it, the stamp doesn't vanish. It's not invisible ink. It doesn't go away magically. It stays on there. The Presidential Records Act that they keep trying to enforce has no prosecutorial teeth. It's not a criminal offense. It's a process act. Bill Clinton, there's precedents for everything that has happened so far. What they're doing is unprecedented. It's never been done before. They're in deep, dark waters here. And the former administrations have gone through this. It's estimated that Barack Obama carried off hundreds of thousands of pages of documents. Nobody ever went after him or raided his place. Well, he was perfectly squeaky clean. There was not a smidgen of corruption in his administration, according to him. Not a smidgen of corruption at the IRS. Oh, but some people got fired. Don't worry, they're back. And they're more funded and have more people than ever. They're planning on going after Republicans and again conservative organizations in the next 2 years. You watch right after this election. They're arming up, folks. They're going after all of their quote political enemies, and those are all. They've now asked Newt Gingrich to come before the January 6th Commission and talk about his rhetoric against the election. You see, this Donald Trump was right. This isn't about Donald Trump. This is about you. This is about all conservatives and Republicans. They're trying to vilify and criminalize every single Republican out there. In the speech last night, the rhetoric that was said, notice that this isn't coming from Joe Biden. This is coming from whoever wrote the speech. Joe doesn't have the wherewithal to sit down and write a speech like this. This is the people in his administration. They think that the momentum is on their side right now. They got MSNBC and CNN on their side. They got some other reporters as well and some other networks that are on their side. They think that they have the momentum right now and they can continue with this narrative that the MAGA crowd is evil. And even though I don't consider myself a MAGA, part of the MAGA crowd necessarily, I'm definitely one of the people he's talking about. I know who he's talking about. He's talking about all Republicans. I'm not necessarily a Republican either, but anybody on the right, any conservative. I'm a conservative libertarian, which is different than a regular libertarian. I don't align myself with the Libertarian Party at all. The Libertarian Party is wacko. I've tried to kind of watch what's going on with the Indiana libertarians, and I'm actually kind of impressed with where they're going with what they've done recently with a couple of their meetings. I listened in on they have their meetings live on YouTube, and some of the council meetings they've had. I've been kind of impressed with where they've gone, or the direction that they're heading. However, there's some things platform-wise on the party national that I can't go with. They're not the Ron Paul libertarians that I would like to see. However, I also don't like a lot of things in the Republican Party, but there are other things I do. I mean, it's 90% of what I believe probably lines up with the Republican Party's platform. And on policy, I probably agreed with 95% of everything Trump did. But it's not about the person. It's about the policy. They couldn't stand him as a person. He's a monster. He's terrible. You know, I believe that when all this is exposed, when we stand before God and all the books are opened, there's this one, there's the book of life. Then it talks about other books being opened, all the records. I believe every single person is going to be called before God, before the entire nations of the world. Everybody who's ever lived will be there. This great cloud of witnesses are all going to be there, and they're going to see your life. I mean, you've got all eternity. Your entire life is going to be played before everyone. Every second, every minute, every thought you had, everything that you did, everything that was done to you, every prayer that was prayed for you, you're going to be able to see. Every prayer you made is going to be seen. Every bad thought you had. Every selfish moment. All going to be played before everyone. It's all going to be known. Everything's going to be known about you in an instant. Because time is irrelevant in eternity. You could say you could live it out in real time and they could sit there and watch your entire life, your 60 years of your life. But it all takes a second. There's no relative time to anything. So you stand before God and all this is seen and everybody sees everything that you've gone through, everything that's happened to you, everything that you've done. All the decisions that were made. And then God gets the final word. The law is held up to your life. And you see how wretched in comparison, how fallen short you were. And in that moment, your advocate steps forward and says, I took the punishment for this one. This one belongs to me. I've redeemed him or her. There's a song by Wayne Watson. It's called This One Is Born in Zion. It's called Born in Zion, but the main line is This One Is Born in Zion. I would challenge you to listen to that sometime. I'm sure it's on YouTube. Let's just take a look. Born in Zion. Wayne Watson comes right to the top. And there it is. This is an old song, folks. Old, old song. It's probably one of his best albums. I think it's called Giants in the Land. I think it was one of his most powerful albums and probably at the pinnacle of his career. In fact, I'm just going to play a little bit of it. I used to be able to play this song, by the way. And it was... I used to sit down and try to figure out songs. That's what we have to look forward to for those of us who are redeemed. And, you know, there are those who are not. And every lie, every thing that they've done and said, everything that affect generations, and the higher up you are on the leadership level of people, the more influence you have, the more responsibility you have. It's a terrifying thing. You have the ability to affect generations to come. Now, you may not think that your little life makes a difference. Maybe you can just smile at someone today as you're getting off the elevator and say hello. Or say, hey, have a great day. Or make it a great day. Whatever you say to that person. You don't know how much that can change a heart. And that attitude that you've just instilled in them, that you've imparted to them something, that they're going to carry on the rest of their day and maybe possibly have a positive influence on someone else's day. You see, someone out there led Billy Graham to Christ. And that person, I'm sure if you're looking into his history, he's probably given his testimony and told, he probably says who it was or how it happened. And in that process, that person who led him to Christ didn't lead thousands and thousands of other people to Christ, probably. But the ramifications of him doing that, one person, he really could have been the only person he ever led to Christ. And look at the fruit that was born from that. Not that that makes him more favored by God. See, that has nothing to do with it. It didn't add to anything that Jesus did on the cross. And all the good works that Billy Graham has done has not added to anything that Jesus did on the cross. But it's all those things that bring glory to his name. But I digress. It is Shabbat Shalom right now. We're on the eve of Shabbat. And so I just thought I'd throw some of that stuff out there. Now let's get back into the politics of things. This FBI picture, it just infuriates me. I hope the next time they bring Christopher Wray before Congress, if anybody in Congress or anybody who knows someone in Congress who has someone's ear who happens to be able to carry something to somebody on the committee, whether it's Kennedy or Jordan, whoever it is, and the sound of this voice, if you can get this message to them somehow, and I'm going to try to send them emails too. I'm going to try to do my best to send messages to these people. The next time that Christopher Wray is standing, or any of these knuckleheads that they call before them in some kind of an interview and some kind of process, we're going to call you before Congress. You're going to testify. You're going to give some answers here. Well, I can't comment on any ongoing investigation. I can't comment on any ongoing personnel issues. Well, I don't know. I'm not. That's outside my purview. I don't know. They all play the stupid part, or they play the way my hands are tied. I wish I could talk about it, but I can't. I've got to be very careful here what I say. Anytime they do that, what they need to do is when they ask a question, just put this picture up on the screen for them. Because they come back with this whole thing, especially the AG. I'm not even going to say his name. So disgusting. When he says, well, the FBI, or the Department of Justice and the FBI, we speak through our court filings and documents and all the work that we do. Oh, a lot like this picture. Was this picture a court filing? These pictures that just happened to be leaked. This information where you have CNN just happen to show up when you're arresting somebody at the airport. That's how you speak? Is that court filings? Is that work? And you guys, you're the FBI and you can't figure out who's leaking this stuff from your own department, from the seventh floor? This picture had to have come from somebody on the inside. You know it had to. This wasn't a reporter that went in and did this. But they only speak through their, they don't make any comments on any ongoing investigations. But oh, by golly, you can paint a picture out there, can't you? And that speaks 1,000 words. Speaks 10,000 words. The fact that you would do it shows your political bias right there, period. And nobody goes after this person. Who leaked the picture? How'd that picture get out there? Where'd the picture come from? Are they investigating that? No. This was done intentionally. This was an intentional job, much like the raid itself. Now, do you think it's possible that they could plant evidence in these boxes that were gathered? So they won't give a receipt. They won't give a receipt for all the documents that were taken. They don't want a special master over this thing. Now, everything I've understood is that's just like having an umpire. It's like having a referee. Hey, we just want a referee here to watch over this. No, you don't need one. They argued against it. They had a 5-page report on why they don't need one. And there's no reason for one now because we've already gone through everything. Well, it's not just for the looking over the paperwork. It's for the rest of this process. a special master can come, and the judge is about to allow it. I mean, you're looking at what the judge is saying, it sounds a little bit more like they're, and I think the judge is getting a little bit more concerned about the fact that they're sweating over there in the FBI corner. Why don't you want a special master over this thing? And here again, now this is the roll of the dice, folks. Because a special master is going to have a lot of leverage. If they get the wrong person, you get political active, you know, politically active people out there who are not just going to be justice is blind mentality. Things are very polarized right now. When you have Supreme Court Justice Roberts saying, well, we can't rule on anything on the election because last time there weren't riots. This time there's going to be riots. So we can't rule on it. You let the mob decide whether or not the Supreme Court's going to rule on something. You should be impeached immediately for that. You have no guts. You have no courage by saying that. That's not the American way, period. Talk about influencing the election. The FBI has Hunter's laptop a year before the election in 2020. They get it in 2019. They don't do anything. They don't say anything. Some other people discover this whole thing. They take it to the FBI again. The FBI doesn't do anything with it. What kind of bias? Then they start going after anybody who worked in the Trump administration. And now the news media is making a big deal of that. Well, they're actually getting some lower-level people, so why wouldn't they be able to, if they got these lower-level people, they've been arresting them, so why wouldn't they be able to arrest Trump? It would be absurd to think that they couldn't arrest Trump. The leader, he's the leader of the group. They got them on process crimes. You're talking about Steve Bannon for refusing to go before Congress? They arrested him for contempt of Congress. Because he wasn't going to participate in their little dog and pony show. Doesn't mean he committed a crime with regard to January 6th. But that's they make it sound like, well, you know, we should go straight to the top then. They should, if they get him for anything. That's the whole purpose of this. It's all about optics. It's all about the narrative in the show. It is disgusting to me. This is happening in my lifetime. And yet we keep being told, it gets shoved down our throat, nobody's above the law, by the very people who really need to be investigated. We get told by Bill Barr, who now is selling a book now, on the book trail. So they're treating him like a buddy over at Fox News. He's, oh, look, we got Bill Barr here this morning to talk about his book. Oh, this is fun. Let's sell your book. Now, he has a mouthpiece as well. He's coming out and speaking about some things. Shouldn't be doing that. Comes out and does that. Well, then, guess what? Guess what else happens then? Bill Barr says, oh, you know, the election was that we didn't find any evidence of any widespread election fraud. And I come back to this idea of, okay, Bill, who was it that was on your team who did any investigations? And how much time did you spend on it? Let's see the hours on there. Can we get an account on, can we have an IG maybe look into that? Look into that whole thing, and then we can find out exactly how much time you spent investigating the election and how much time you actually looked. Or did you just happen to watch the MSNBC news that night after the election and just decided, well, it's over. Looks like it's over. And they didn't show any evidence. How much time and money was invested? Who was the crew? Who was put on that case? Who was assigned to the case of inspecting for widespread or any kind of election fraud? Who did that, Bill? You have names and places and times and an expense budget for that? You didn't look at a dang thing. Not one thing. You just said the election's over and we're done. Nothing to see here. Move along. After all, who cares about Trump? We need to establish that guy back in there. Oh, but we care about election integrity. So now this next election, we have to really reassure people that this election's... No. Look at the state of the economy right now. Look at the state of the world. Look at the state of everything we're in right now in our country. Well, that's because of COVID. Okay, whatever. You go ahead and believe that. If nothing had been changed after the election, if Biden hadn't touched anything, our economy and the economy of the world would be in much better shape right now. But I digress. Again, keep in mind, at the end of the day, at the end of everything, God will have the final word. If you believe that, then you should be carrying this unwavering hope inside of you. It should be the foundation that your heart is built on, is that when it's all said and done, God will have the final word. So as we move our way into the weekend and we figure out, I don't know what's going on. All I know is I see a lot of very fishy activity. We're being told, of course, that we're the problem. Yeah. You're not the problem, folks. You're the answer. So make it a great weekend. God bless.